gathering here this afternoon. And we're making history at this retreat. I believe it's the biggest retreat that we've ever had as far as for our young people. And I understand that this place accommodates about 3,000. And we just about packed out this entire auditorium. So that tells us that we have probably about 3,000 people that are gathered here nightly. 3,000 young people gathered here for this retreat. Amen. Give the Lord a clap offering right now. Also, that tells us that we're growing. We're growing. And that's good. That's positive news that we're growing and we're moving on. And there's much more that God wants us to do. I want to thank the pastors for coming out. I know it's not easy for you. I know pastoring a church, you have a real busy schedule. And you usually are not able to make it to the youth retreats. But I wanted you to be here. And the reason why I was encouraging you to be here with us this afternoon was because it's important for us, especially at this particular time, to be focusing on our young people. To take notice, actually take notice what God is doing with our young people. We have a tendency sometimes as pastors that we get all wrapped up in the ministry. And sometimes there's a tendency, there's a danger of not taking notice in the people that God is raising up within the church, especially the young people that God is raising up. Now, we have many of the young people that are coming in through our rehab homes. It looks like they're getting younger and younger in our rehab homes. Before, there were old-time dope fiends that would come in. All the heroin addicts or hardcore drug addicts would come into our rehab homes. And most of them were already old-timers, guys that have been in and out of prison. But lately, there have been more and more young people that have been coming in. They've been involved in all those drugs that they're involved in. And it's a whole new type of drug, and many of them not even heroin addicts. And God is raising many of them up as well. You know, so we look at the homes and we say, man, God is raising up these young people. But there's a whole generation of young people, and I'm talking to you a little bit more because I'm giving the people time to get in before we really get into the nitty-gritty. I'm just giving you an introduction. There's a whole generation of young people that God is raising up within the Victory Outreach that were really never hardcore drug addicts. And young people that, as we've gotten older and the ministry has gotten older, many of them have been raised within the church. And many of them are the children of the pastors and the ministers of Victory Outreach. And we also have to take notice of these young people. These young people are different. And we have to take notice and look at them as the potential leaders of the future and also the leaders of the now. Because many of them are of age where God is able to use them. They're at the age where they could become powerful, tremendous ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. One thing my wife said to me, and she kind of provoked me today, we were going to... We went out to have lunch today, and what is the name of that town again? No, Santa Fe, yeah, we were going to Santa Fe, and she said, well, you know, if the young men don't go out and take the inherit the nations, then the young women are going to go out and inherit the nations. And she said, that's what the Salvation Army did. They send out women all over the world. And it's true. I see a lot of the young girls, young gang girls that are committed, and their desire is to be missionaries in different parts of the world. And believe me, those women could do it too. I mean, it's been done in the past. And in past history, you find that there have been many women that have gone out and they've been powerful in the hands of God. So that we've been provoked, guys. We're provoked. We've been challenged that we're not going to stay behind, But we're going to take our place where we belong so that God is able to use us. Amen? How many can say amen to that? Now, this afternoon, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be sharing a little bit, and I'm going to be directing myself a little bit to the pastors that are here. And then at the same time, it's important for you young people, all you youth leaders and all the young people that are here, also take note, and anything that I say that may apply to you, just get a hold of it. But then I'm going to speak probably for about 20 minutes, and after 20 minutes, then I'm going to have Pastor Al come up, and he is going to address the young people, because it takes a two. We're trying to bring the pastors and the young people together here. Not that you're not together, but we want to bring you together to understand the importance of the pastor and the young person that is within the church if we're going to effectively reach out and inherit the nations. I get challenged and encouraged when I look out at night and I see this whole place packed out. I say, what potential, man? What potential? I mean, there's hundreds of young people that God is already raising up. I am sure that God is tugging at the hearts of many of our young people. God is touching the hearts of many of our young people. And I can see an army of young people that are going to be thrust out into the harvest field. And this could only be done if we're intentional about doing it. This is why it's so important for us to be together this afternoon and for you also to see and take notice of what God is doing within the young people of Victory Outreach. Amen? So I'll be speaking for a while, and then after that, I'll be turning it to Pastor Al, and then Pastor Al is going to be sharing also from the perspective of the young people. He's going to be gearing himself to them. And Al has gone through many different experiences, and I think he'll be sharing some of the experiences that he has gone through himself. Amen? So let's today I want to talk to you a little bit about seeking and finding and developing these youth leaders, developing young leaders. It is important to know that our ministry will only grow as large as the breadth of our leadership and will only go as deep as the depth of our leadership. That means that we need more leaders. And not only do we need more leaders, but I've been saying that, and I think I'm going to emphasize a little bit in Acapulco also, that not only do we need more leaders, but we need even better leaders for God to raise up. And how do you find these young leaders in our church? How do we raise them up? And how do you develop them? More important, how do you develop these young leaders that God wants to raise up so they could become everything that God wants them to be? Well, I want to talk a little bit about that this afternoon. First of all, to find leaders, I think it's very important for us to understand that we need to pray and ask God for them. That's what we're encouraged within the Word of God. I don't know if you do that. I don't know if you, this is what I'm talking about. I'm saying we need to be intentional. We need to be intentional. If we want to see a revival take place, if we want to see our young people thrust out all over the world and making an impact all over the world, then it's not just going to happen. We need to really be intentional about it. And I'm hoping that we develop that mentality in a little short time here at this retreat. And the first thing we need to do is we need to pray. We need to pray. Sometimes in our churches, we pray for funds to come in. We pray for so many things. We pray for souls to be saved. But are you praying for God to raise up an army of young people? Are you praying for God to raise up an army of youth leaders? In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35 to 38, we find that it talks about how Jesus, and we know the story, we know it, about how Jesus went about doing his ministry, and as he looked over the crowd, he had compassion on them. You know the scripture, they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers or the workers are few. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth workers to the harvest field. So the first thing that we need to understand, if we want to see leadership, we want to see God raising up a whole new generation of powerful leadership that are going to make an impact within the world, then the first thing we need to do is we need to begin to be intentionally praying about it. We need to pray and ask God to raise up leaders. If you want leaders, ask God for them. James 4:2 says, it tells us that we have not because we ask not. Do you spend time with God to raise up workers and more youth leaders to emerge in your church and in your ministry? James also tells us that sometimes we ask and we do not receive because we ask with the wrong motivation. I was talking yesterday about motivation. I think motivation has a lot to do with answered prayer. Sometimes God doesn't answer prayer because we have the wrong motives. I believe we have to constantly, in everything that we do, as our ministry is growing, we need to constantly be examining our motives. Why do we do what we do? Why? Is it for self or is it to glorify God? We can ask God for leaders simply sometimes to build our own kingdom. We could fall into that kingdom building. And then we try to make a name for ourselves or try to be the biggest church within the outreach. But what we do, we need to, everything that we ask for, we need to keep in mind that it shouldn't be for self-glory, but it should be to glorify God and for the advancement of the kingdom of God. I want you to think about it for a moment. When we talk about growth and we talk about the advancement of the kingdom of God, I don't want you to only think locally, but it's important for us to have a mindset that we're not only thinking locally, but we're thinking internationally. Now, when we think about growth, we think about potential. Remember that God hasn't just given us a local calling, but God has given us a worldwide calling, an international calling, a worldwide ministry. And what the devil would love to do, get you so wrapped up in maintenance within your local ministry that you fail to go about being obedient to the calling, the international calling that God has given to us. So what we need to do, we need to keep an eye on the local needs of our community, keep an eye on the local church, the local calling, but at the same time, we should have another eye for the fields that are white or ready to harvest, knowing that there's other inner cities that God wants us to reach. So we need to have not only a local mindset, but we need to develop also an international mindset. This is why we should feel compassion, and that should be our motives for leadership, because we have a compassion to reach out into the world. And why do we want to raise leaders? It's because we have compassion. We want to reach those people in the inner city. It is a responsibility. It is our job description. It is an area that God has given us to reach. So we want to raise up leaders so that in turn, those leaders could go out and reach out into the inner cities of the world, and we could advance the kingdom of God. That's number one. So if you want leadership, what do we got to do? We need to begin to pray about it, ask God for it. Secondly, we also need to make youth leadership. Instead of saying leadership in general, I want to emphasize on youth leadership development a priority. Youth leadership development a priority. Now, I know that I don't have to emphasize as far as you raising up other leaders. You've been doing that. And the emphasis has been raising up different leaders, and this is part of our ministry. We've been doing that. But I think we've been a little bit neglectful and concentrating on a whole army of young people that God is raising up. So God is bringing our focus again and saying, hey, don't fall asleep on this. I want you to take notice of what I'm doing. I'm raising up an army right before your very nose. And I want you to concentrate and prioritize on these leaders. Every effective pastor and Christian leader should concentrate his or her time helping leaders to emerge. This is what we should give ourselves to, helping leaders to emerge. We as pastors need to evaluate how we schedule ourselves. I think if you look at your schedule, you could tell what's your priority. If you look at your schedule, you'll be able to tell what's important to you. Whatever you give your time to is what's important to you. So we need to evaluate, are we including the development of youth leadership and developing them so that they could emerge as part of our schedule? In looking at your calendar, there are three critical things that we need to take into account. We need to ask ourselves, first of all, what am I doing that doesn't need to be done at all? So many times we do things that don't need to be done. Every one of us has things in our lives and in our calendar that could actually be postponed. And if it's postponed, even things that you won't miss and other people won't even miss at all. We focus many times on things that are non-essential. That's a waste of time. I think we should be wasting our time. We should concentrate. Look at our calendar. Where do we spend our time? Are we effectively spending our time to reach out into the nations? One of the questions we have to ask is, what am I doing that doesn't need to be done at all? The second thing, question that we should ask, is what am I doing that could be done by someone else? That's when you begin to raise up leaders. Then when you say, what am I doing that someone else could do? Sometimes we get doing everything ourselves and we don't delegate. If you don't delegate, you won't raise up leaders. Someone said, good executives never put off till tomorrow. I like this. Listen to this. Good executives never put off till tomorrow what they could get someone to do today. Should I say it again? Good executives, or should I say good leaders, never put off till tomorrow what they could get someone to do today. This is delegating, which is very, very important. God has not called us to be a one-man ministry, but we need to delegate so we could raise up leaders. Then the third question we need to ask is, what can only I and no one else do, which, if really done well, can make a big difference within our ministry? We must understand who we are and the gifts and ability that God has given to us, and what God has called us to do, and the unique contribution that we could make for the advancement of the kingdom of God and the growth of the church. What I'm trying to say is this. You don't have all the gifts. Not every one of us have all the gifts. This is why we need to get other people involved. And we need to concentrate as pastors in the areas that we're most gifted in. And in the areas that we don't, we're kind of weak in those particular areas, then let God raise up the leadership in those areas so there could be a development of leadership. We got to give our time and energies and let it be, if we're going to give our time and energy, let it be in developing the now leaders and future leaders that God wants to raise up. Now, real quickly, I want to give you five key questions to evaluate in leadership development. Number one, do you have a passion to develop leaders? Do you have a passion to develop leaders? You need to really honestly ask yourself that question. Or are you going about just the routine of every day? Is there an excitement in you? You know, if you're developing leader, you're an exciting person. Because investing of your life in the life of somebody else. Instead of just having that pastoral mentality of just taking care of the sheep and that's it. Not only taking care of the sheep or babysitting the sheep, but God, in the type of ministry that we have, that God has given us a mandate, what's going to bring success or failure to our ministry is the development of leaders. If we have no leaders, we will never be able to accomplish what God has called us to do. So, do you have that passion inside of you to develop leaders? If you don't have the passion to develop leaders, and I'm not only talking to the pastors, but also you leaders that are youth leaders, are you developing other youth leaders? I think you could apply it that way to some of you guys. The second question, are you targeting a small group of individuals in whom you could pour your time and energy and at the same time be intentional about it? Now, let me just tell you about the importance of doing that. When I say intentional, I mean this. That what we need to do, once you're involved in developing leaders within your church, I think you need to do, this is what I do, and I just want to share what I do. When I'm developing leaders, I say, okay, this is our goal. We want to bring the church to this particular level. This is the type of leadership we need to bring the local church to this particular level. So then I look at the leaders and I say, okay, you, and you, you're going to stay. You're not going nowhere. So you focus and your vision is here in developing this ministry. But we, those that are staying behind, those of us that are going to stay, then we need to develop leaders that are going to go. And then you start identifying the people that are going to go. Because once you get involved in leadership development and you make that your priority, you're going to have a lot of people around you that are hungry to be used of God. And God is going to give you the leaders. If you have a passion for the development of leaders, then God is going to answer your prayer. If you're praying about it, then God's going to answer your prayer. And you're going to have a whole lot of people that want leadership around you. And then you have to identify who are the ones that are going to stay and who are the ones that are going to be launched out. And then we need to envision that and say, you're going to be launched out. Stop praying for a city. You're going to be launched out. 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 You start looking at them and saying, you guys, we're developing you because you're going to be launched out. Either you're going to pastor or you're going to be going to another country, but God is going to use you to make an impact somewhere else. See? And when you begin to do that, then you're being intentional about it. That's building their faith. Then they begin to focus. They begin to pray for a city. And God begins to lay a city upon their hearts. And then they come and tell you, God has laid this city upon my heart. Then you begin to pray about it. And you feel the same thing that before you know it, you're launching somebody out. But at the same time, it's not going to hurt your church because you have those that you have that are going to be permanent within your church. So there's the releasing, man. You got to release. What does it say? Give and what? It's the same principle as of giving financially. Some of us want to hold on to everybody. And you may be good in giving financially, but if you're holding on to leadership and you don't want to let them go, God is not going to give you any more leadership. But as you're free in sending forth leaders and giving leaders and releasing them for the furtherance of enhancing the kingdom of God, then in turn, God will raise up other leaders around you. And you will find that you'll be investing your life in the life of other people, and you'll be faithful and going about following the great commission that God has given unto us. So what we need to do is we need to target small group of individuals in whom we could pour time, our energy, and again, that word, be intentional about it. Then also, number three, do you model for the group? Are you modeling? That's one of the things that our young people need to understand. I think this new generation of young people, since they haven't come through the home, sometimes they lack the discipline that the home gives. And one of the things that I share with them, I'm very particular with our leaders in San Diego. If they're not on time, they know they're going to get jammed. And if I see something and they're slacking in their discipline, they're going to be jammed. And the reason why I do that, I say, the reason why I'm jamming you is because what kind of leadership do you want? Whatever you are, that's what you're going to reproduce. And if you're not modeling the character, or you're not modeling the skills and also the discipline that needs to be modeled, then you're not going to reproduce the type of leadership that effectively are going to go out and reach the world. I think we don't have the excuses of yesterday. Before, we had the excuse, we send out different guys and we said, we don't know what we're doing. That was our excuse. Man, praise God, we just got the Holy Ghost, man. We don't know what we're doing. We're just sending them out. Praise God, I hope it hits, man. I hope he makes it, you know. And praise God, we just go. You want to go? Go in the name of Jesus. What about finances? Pray on it, brother. Go ahead, just go, you know. We had a good excuse then because we really didn't know what we were doing. But after being involved, it's going to be 40 years of ministry, 40 years of existence. I don't think we have an excuse to give to people anymore. And I don't think we have the excuse even to give to God. We don't have any excuse to give to God. God says, you've been around for a while. You should have grown up by now. So what kind of leadership do we need? We need even better leadership than the previous leadership that we had. You see what I'm talking about? We need leadership with even better skills. We need leadership with even better character. We need leadership with all the different characteristics that make up a powerful leader. Because always remember that leadership, what do we say? It's not something new to you. Is it taught or is it caught? Leadership is caught. You can't teach leadership. You can give information to a person, and they get a lot of information on leadership. But the only way you teach leadership is through exampleship. That's the only way I know how to teach leadership. I'm already tired of giving so many sermons on leadership and classes on leadership. And they say, yeah, and they take a bunch of notes, and they go and do the same thing all over again. I mean, that's discouraging. So which is the most effective way? By taking them step by step. Taking them step by step, step by step, step by, rebuking them when you need to rebuke them, chastise when you need to chastise them. Yeah. And that's the way they learn. And I think every one of us, all of us, pastors, need to do that with our young people. We've been disconnected. I think many of us have been disconnected. And we're not as connected as we should be. If you're not connected, then who are they going to follow? They're going to follow maybe the youth leader that's not even developed yet. He's giving them what he could give them, but he's not giving them what they need. So they're never ready. And then we want to launch people out, but you look at them and say they're never ready. Why are they never ready? Because they never intentionally been dealt with. So what I'm asking you this afternoon is that when we go back to our churches, let's take a look what we got around us, the potential that we have around us in our young people. And then start looking at them, identifying who are those with the gut feeling. God gives you gut feeling. God wants to use that one. God wants to use this one. And look at them and look at the ones that have the potential or the ones that have the making of a leader. And let's begin to focus on them. Let's intentionally begin to focus on them, so that we could begin to impart of ourselves in the lives of these young people. And I'll guarantee you this. If you do that, I believe in the coming years, we're going to have the greatest explosion that we've ever had in the history of Victory Outreach, where you're going to see many people being sent out and all over the world. Because the army is here. We don't have to pray for the army to come. God is giving us the army. Now we need to do is just take notice of the army that God has placed all around us. And then number four, are you releasing these people in ministry in an environment that is safe to fail? Are you doing that? Are you doing that? If you're not doing that, then how are they going to develop? So we need to be able to release them. Okay. And this is the last thing I want to do, and then Al's going to come. The number three, identify people with leadership potential. We need to cultivate the skill of spotting potential upcoming leaders. We need to recognize those people that are not leaders yet, but could develop into leaders if only we are able to invest in them. Now, there's four things in potential leaders, in spotting potential leaders. Four things that I want to bring up. Number one, what we need to look for. Look for people with searching minds. Searching minds. People who are still growing and have a hunger for growth. That's the kind of leaders. You know, I like the leaders that ask questions. Ask questions. Searching mind leaders, potential leaders, are those that come and say, Pastor, why did you do that? Or Pastor, what about this? Or Pastor, what about that? I say, this guy has a searching mind. And young people that are hungry to grow, they want to grow. They're not satisfied where they are. And they're open for growth. They have a searching mind, hungry for more growth within their life. Not everybody's hungry for more growth. Not everybody wants to go on the journey. But there are those of leaders, those people that God has placed his hand upon, those people that God is moving within their lives, they're hungry to grow. Then also, secondly, look for people with a humble heart. I think that's very, very important. Humble heart. Who realize that they still have a long way to go and that they haven't arrived yet. In other words, that are teachable. Teachable. With a humble attitude and a humble heart. Then also look for people or young people with an evident gift, that they're gifted. Take notice of the giftings that they have. And look at their giftings. And see, take notice of their giftings. Try to discover what kind of giftings they have. And then number four, and also look for people with a faithful spirit, people that are loyal. People that are faithful within the church. One thing you don't want to mess around is disloyal people. If they're disloyal now, chances are they'll be disloyal later. There's a lot of people that have a lot of gifting and a lot of people that have a great potential, but they're disloyal. They don't have a faithful spirit. If they don't have a faithful spirit, then they disqualify themselves. So we need to look for people also that are loyal with a faithful spirit. And these are the things that we need to look for in the potential leaders and raising potential leaders. And as you spend time praying for potential leaders, you will see that God is going to answer your prayers in one of two ways. Number one, he will send someone to you from out of the blue. Sometimes we're slow in going out and reaching them, but God sometimes brings them right under your nose. And said, here he is. Come on, man. Work with him. Out of the blue, somebody pops up and you say, whoa, I didn't know. Where were you all this time? And then there's another way, also by guiding you or guiding us. And that's the most frequent way that he does it. By guiding us to the people that we need to spend time with. God will guide us to those people. So, again, what am I saying? All I'm saying is this. I hope that when we leave this retreat, that we're going to be intentional about it. The sad part about it is that you could have guys that are hungry in your church, and if the pastor doesn't spot them, the pastor is not even taking notice of them, then eventually they'll die. Eventually they'll go somewhere else. Eventually they'll go into the secular world. And we lost somebody that could have done great exploits for God in the advancement of his kingdom. But we lost them because we weren't sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And we didn't have that eye to be able to identify those people, those leaders that God was raising up. And I look at all these young people, they're not babies anymore. I started at the same age that they started. I think a lot of us started at the same age that they started. We had the opportunity to minister. And all they're asking for, amen, give me the opportunity, man. I want to be part of it. The gang wants to be part of it. We want to go out. We want to reach the world. We want to take nations for the glory of God. But it's not going to happen if we keep a cap on them. We're going to take the cap off and say, okay, guys, come on, man. We want to believe for God to raise you up. Start praying for our city.
Start seeking what is the calling that God has given to you. And some of our girls as well, many of them will become pastor's wife. Some of the girls also may be missionaries in different countries. It is a great opportunity for the gang girls as well. And we need to also take notice of them as well. So what I'm saying this morning is that look at the army. Tonight you're going to see it again. The army. The great victory outreach young people army that God has given to us. Are we going to fall asleep? Are we going to fall asleep? Or are we going to take notice and say, boy, God has just brought them right up and they're ready to be worked with and they're ready to be launched out all over the world. I think that's the mentality that God wants us to have as pastors, and we need to be intentional about it. Now, I've spoken more like a pastor, and I want Al to come, and Al is going to be speaking a lot to the, you know, it's the responsibility of the pastors, but then there's a responsibility in each young person that wants to be used of God. Each young person that wants to develop to that leader that we're talking about, and I was going to tell you a little bit more about it. Amen.
Praise the Lord. How many of you are blessed today? How many can hear the heartbeat of our pastor? Can you really hear it? Can you feel it? It's been something that Pastor Sonny has been talking about now. I know that it's something that he's always prayed. I'm sure that when he first received the vision, him and Sister Julie, this is something that they always prayed. But I think within the last, let's say, 3 to 5 years, it's been something that has just really been coming to the forefront of his ministry. And I thank God that we're able to be in earshot of greatness. How many can say amen? That's really what it is. We're able to really catch the heart of our pastors. And I really pray, and I know that many of us are getting a hold of that. How many can say amen? I also want to thank Pastor Sonny for having me today. Also Pastor Sonny Jr., all the elders for sharing. And I want to thank God for just what he's done in my life. This year, it'll be 14 years that I gave my life to the Lord. I was 19 years old when I first gave my life to the Lord. Today I'm 31 years old, and I really have experienced a great move of God within my life. And today as I share with you, I'm going to ask you to open up your heart a little bit just some personal stories and some experiences that I've had. And I know that God has something great for us today. How many can say amen? Just turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2 real quick, and I just want to open with the scripture. And it says this, it says, Paul is talking to Timothy, and he says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." And he goes on to say, he says, "And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses," he says, "commit these things to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." And then he says something real key in verse 3, and he says this. He says, "You therefore must endure hardship." Say that. Say, endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Right here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, it's a very, very familiar portion of Scripture to all of us. And it's talking about Paul's valedictory. Paul's ministry is in his final years. And he's communicating to his very beloved disciple, Timothy, the deep desire within his heart. What was Paul's desire? It was simply this. It was to see the vision continue. It was to see the ministry and the work of God to continue. The work that had begun under him and the other apostles to continue with those that were to come behind him. It was a mandate that Paul was giving to Timothy. It was a mandate to become what God had called Timothy to be, and to go beyond becoming what God called Timothy to be, but also to produce others who would also be able to answer the call of God upon their life. How many could say amen? And in preaching a message like this, it causes you to reflect a little bit. I begin to reflect on some of the experiences within my life, and I hope and pray that you'll be able to draw from that today. And I've always kind of looked at myself a little bit like a Timothy, just like many of you. Many of the leaders that are here, I think about Caesar, I think about Pastor Miller, Philip, a lot of the guys that have been around a long time here in the gang, we've always looked at ourselves as Timothys. And ever since I gave my life to God, I really know without a shadow of a doubt that My desire has been to learn and to answer the calling of God upon my life. I think I was thinking back about in the local church. I mean, you think about all the things that you've done for God in the local church. And I think when it comes to everything that I've done in the local church, I think I've done everything from cleaning to sweeping to serving to I was a sound man in a drama at one time. Praise the Lord. I think I've driven cross country by car 4 or 5 times. Amen. You know, we've been on crusades and we've done Bible studies and you know, all of us have the same testimony, right? We've done it all in the church. But in a sense, you kind of think about those things. And when you first get a hold of God, you always get that sense of purpose within your life. There are many of us that say, you know what? Ever since God got a hold of my life, I've felt the call to be a pastor. And sometimes you can look at all the different things that you do in the church as a stepping stone sometimes. Now, sometimes we think of a stepping stone as a bad term, as, well, you should never be using a stepping stone. You should give your heart to God in everything that you're doing. And we do that. But at the same time, when you're on a journey for God and you have an ultimate calling and an ultimate vision within your life, you look at those things as a means to an end, to understand that for every step you take within the church and for every ministry that you're involved in and every bit of training that you receive, it's all because you know that God has put a calling within your life. There are many of you here today that you say, my call is to be a missionary. My call is to be ministering in another nation and raising up disciples and learning languages and preaching the gospel all over the world. There are some of you here today that you say, man, my call, without a shadow of a doubt, is to pastor my own church in a city, to pioneer a Victory Outreach church in a Victory Outreach city somewhere around the world. And that's why you're involved in youth ministry, because you say, I want to be prepared. I want to be made ready. I want to rise up to the call of God within my life. You see, there are some people who are called to specific ministries. And I really believe that there are people that say, I'm called to rehab. I'm called to be a rehab director. There's others that are called to youth ministry. And you say, you know, my calling is to be a youth pastor. And praise God for that. There's others that you're called to run a UTC. And to say, I'm going to be a director of a UTC here in the States or somewhere around the world. And that's good. But there are many of you that say, I feel the call to pastor or to be a missionary. And you have to look a lot of times at the different areas of ministry that God is preparing you in. You see, seeing myself as a Timothy, even more so today, working under Pastor Sonny in San Diego, there's a commitment within my life and within our young team. I did an average age of our team, our ministerial team there in San Diego, and our average age of people on staff, including our treasurer and my wife and a few key players, a lot of key people there in San Diego, the average age of our team is 35 years old. And we have a young team. But our commitment there is to be able to learn and to develop, to be trained, to become pastors. You see, some of us there in San Diego, we've been licensed for a while. I've been licensed as a minister for 7 years almost. But it's only been within the last 2 years that I'm learning what it means to be a pastor. It's something different. There's something deeper involved. And there's a lot of different things that you need to learn in order to become a pastor. You see, whatever your calling may be, missionary, evangelist, pastor, it's going to require a commitment from you as a leader. As a young leader, it's going to require a commitment. It's going to require for you within your heart to say, man, I got to make a commitment to my calling. There's some things that I believe pastors look for in young leaders in order to work with them and in order to disciple them. And I want you to get a hold of this real quickly. There's just a few things. Number one, I believe pastors look for passionate young leaders. Passion. In other words, pastors don't want to work with boring people. Amen. They don't want to work with people that they always got to motivate. They got to motivate you to get to church, motivate you to play a role, motivate you. Another thing along with passion, and this is not in my notes, but pastors sometimes struggle in working with people that are too complicated. Complex. You're always wondering if you're in or you're out or you're up or you're down or you come to church with your pants on backwards. I mean, we just don't know what's going on with you half the time. See, before you could get discipled by your pastor, you got to find yourself. You got to find your identity. You got to find who you are in Christ Jesus. It can't be T.D. Jakes 1 week. Creflo Dollar the next week, Joel Osteen the next month. No, you got to be you. And if you are in doubt, then just be like your pastor and everything will be all right. Can I hear an amen? See, we need to have passion. Another thing is that pastors look for people with the right attitude. Pastors can see your motives. And if your motives are for self, then chances are you're not going to be looked at to be able to rise up to the calling that you feel God has in your life. We got to have the right attitude. We got to understand that the ministry is not about self. Can I hear an amen? Not only that, but pastors look for young leaders that have the ability to make the right choices. Now, talent is important. Talent and ability is important. In fact, if we have so much talent in this room, it's not even funny. We struggle in fitting you all in to the program and fitting you all in to what God wants to do because there's so much talent in the room. And there's just we have an abundance of talent, but we don't have abundance of leaders that know how to make the right choices. You got to know how to pick the right wife. Or you got to know how to pick the right husband. You got to know what type of choices to make in order to cut certain things out of your life so that your pastor could be able to look at you as a real true candidate of somebody that says, listen, because see, pastors don't want to work with young guys that are just going to be in it for a little while or young girls. They want to work with young leaders that say, I'm making the choices that are going to keep me in the fight, like Pastor Ed says, for life. And I won't try to go that high. Amen. We need to make the right choices. Another thing is we need to be willing to live a life of self-denial. You see, we need to be able to die to self. Someone once said this, it's by choice and not chance that destiny is determined. It is by choice and not chance that destiny is determined. If you look at somebody that's fulfilling their destiny, if you look at a leader that's rising up to be a pastor or somebody that's a candidate for ministry, what are you going to find? You're going to find a track record of choices that led them to that place to be considered for that. People that just blasé through their walk with God and blasé through the ministry, they have their ups and they have their downs. But the people that have a purpose and the people that make decisions within their life to be what God has called them to be, they may not be up front in the beginning, but in due time, God begins to raise them up. Why? Because they set their life up in a way for God to raise them up. Are you with me? See, these are things we've got to think about. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 said, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Can I hear an amen? So we have some responsibilities as young leaders in answering the call of God to leadership. And I want to just give you a few things. Number one, as young leaders, we need to possess the heart of God. We need to possess the heart of God, the heart of God and a heart for God. You see, having a heart for God means this. It means desiring to get a hold of God's plan for your life. It means learning the basics early in your walk with God. It means prayer. It means evangelism. It means servanthood. I know that when I first got saved, I had such a radical touch from God. It wasn't anything emotional. I mean, when I came to the altar, I remember, I know exactly who prayed for me. Brother Tony prayed for me at the altar, led me to the Lord. Pastor Junior was preaching. And it wasn't goosebumps. I didn't, you know, foam at the mouth or fall down or anything. I just received salvation. But something funny happened to me after I told somebody that I had gotten saved. A supernatural hunger came over my life. A heart to know God. A desire to know God. I remember that I just wanted to read the Bible. That's all I wanted to do. I remember going to Pastor Sonny Jr. every Wednesday. Hey, I read another book. Well, what, he got to a point where he didn't even know what to suggest anymore. And he started asking people, what do you think he should read next? And I said, forget it, man. I'm just going to read this whole thing. And I think I read the whole Bible in 4 months because I was just hungry to get a hold of God. Just hungry to know God. Just like many of you were hungry when you got saved. Hungry to know God. Hungry to read his word. Hungry to pray. Hungry for his presence. You would pray and say, God, I just want to OD in your presence. Can I hear an amen? We want to be hungry. But through the process of hunger, something gets birthed in your life. And that brings me to my second point. Through the process of hunger, young leaders should possess a heart for ministry. The result of having a heart for God is having a heart for ministry. People who have a heart for ministry, somewhere along the lines, you find that they had a radical touch of God. There was a heart for God. There was a hunger for God, to know God, to serve God, to love God, to dedicate their life to God. But then it gets richer. It gets deeper to a point where you say, God, I'm not satisfied with just knowing you anymore. I want to do something for you and help others to know you. That gets birthed in our life. A heart for ministry flows from your heart for God. How do you know people who have had a heart for God and are making it today and continue to press through? You know, we have our ups and downs, but how do you know? It's because people that have had that touch of God first before they had the touch of ministry. That's why we have to even look at many of the young leaders that grow up in the church and say, listen, man, ministry is available, but what about a touch of God on your life? What about knowing God? What about wanting a hunger and desiring that passion of his presence within your life? You see, early in my walk, as I had a hunger for ministry and a hunger for God, just like many of you, I had to make a choice for God. I had to make a choice. I had to make a decision. And a lot of times when I describe it in the training center or I describe it to young leaders when I talk to them, I tell them it's like getting saved all over again. Because my experience came just about maybe a year after being saved. I was already a cell group leader. I was already involved in the drama. I was already preaching out there in the streets and just evangelizing out there. And I said, God, this is something real. Something's happening in my life. But I had the question, is this really for me? Is this how I'm going to spend my life? Is this how I'm going to spend the rest of my life? How do I know I'm not called to sell real estate, or I'm not called to be a lawyer, or I'm not called to go back to school and get an education? How do I know? I didn't know. So I was at a place where it was like getting saved all over again. You know that feeling when you got saved, right? When you had the, like, it felt like you were jumping off a cliff, right? With no one to catch you, right? Or you're falling backwards on a bungee jump, and then you just, oh my God, something's got to hold me. And the Holy Spirit came and grabbed you. Well, it's the same thing with ministry. Right when you have to make that decision, it's like a new baptism. It's like a new salvation. It's like, okay, now I got saved, but now I'm getting involved in the ministry, and now I have to make a decision, because I made a decision a long time ago that I didn't want to be up and down. I didn't want to be in and out. I wanted to make it. I wanted to be able to be in it for the long haul. Have you made that decision in your life? See, we make those decisions, and I had to decide, would I spend my life being in the business of helping people? Are you hearing me? That's the ministry. It's the business of helping people. It's the ministry of touching people. Also, here's another question I had. Would I spend my young years sacrificing for God? Are you hearing me? You know, they say when you're 20, 21, 22, you're in your prime, right? Here's a tip for you, those of you that are around 20, 21, 22. You're probably not going to look the same when you're 32. Come on, somebody. You're in your prime. Your body changes. Things change. Your mind changes. A lot of things change. There's a lot of young people out there that are just wandering around. They're just out there and just doing whatever at 21 and 22, living purposeless lives. But I had to make a decision. Just like many of those leaders you see in the training center today, 22, 23 years old, you know, they could be out there doing a lot of different things, but they say, no, I want to dedicate my life to the ministry. I'm going to give my good years to God. I want to be able to give myself to God when I'm in the prime of my life, when I'm at my best, when I'm at my strongest, when my mind is the sharpest. I want to be able to give myself to God. You got to make that choice. You got to make that choice. And that's a choice that makes it tough sometimes. We have to die to self. I had to die to myself. And I remember the day I died. I remember the day that I put myself on the cross and I said, God, I just want to give you my best. I want to give you my all. I remember, let me take a drink real quick. I remember one day going to my pastor's house when he was there still pastoring the church, and I had talked to my leader, and I had let him know I'm going to be talking to my pastor about a decision that I wanted to make. And I remember going there to Pastor Sonny's house and asking if I could talk to him. And I said, Pastor, I need to talk to you. And we sat down at the table, and I sat across from him. And I said, Pastor, I want to ask your advice, because, see, I was in a relationship. I was dating. I knew marriage was going to be coming soon. I knew that some things were going to be happening, that once I made those decisions, I would miss out on this opportunity. And I said, Pastor, I've been praying and I've been thinking. I said, what do you think about me getting in the home? What do you think about me going into the home? And when he looked at me, I think he looked at me like, is there something you want to tell me that you're not telling me? Is something going on that I don't know about? Are you messing around with something? And, you know, I wasn't messing around. I didn't have any secret sins, or I wasn't hooked on drugs. You see, you know, I wasn't hooked on drugs. I wasn't an addict. I wasn't in bondage to anything. I just had something happening in my life that God was calling me into the ministry. And I remember the disappointment I felt when he told me no. He said, no, brother, the home. What do you mean the home? You don't need the home. You need to go to Bible school, or you need to go and continue the way you're going, and you know, God's going to raise you up. But I felt crushed. I felt crushed. And, you know, it's funny, but the truth is I felt crushed. The reason I felt crushed was because I wanted the home not because I was in bondage. I wanted the home because I wanted to be looked at as a candidate for ministry. I wanted the home because I wanted people to see me as somebody that could become a pastor. I wanted the home because at that time there was no UTC. There was no Timothy Home. There was no Vethi. Vethi was there, but it wasn't as, I don't know what acronym they were using at the time. It wasn't. It wasn't what it is today. And not to take away from the seriousness of the moment, I wanted to be a candidate for God. And I remember going to church. And I, you know, Pastor Sonny, he's always been, you know, that's Pastor Sonny, but we had a large ministerial staff. And I just remember all the pastors always coming with their disciple from the home, their young disciple from the home. This is the guy I'm working with from the home, and he's going to do it. And he's a young guy, you know, and he's in his early 30s or his late 20s, and he's got a disciple from the home. And this other pastor's working with this guy from the home. And the guys from the home were always able to be around the pastors, and they were always able to be at the pastor's house cleaning or serving somehow. But then once they were done serving, they are able to sit down and eat with the pastor, and he was able to pour his heart into the home and say, listen, guys, and we're going to take the world, and you're the ones, and God wants to use you. He's going to restore your life and restore your marriage. He's going to raise you up and use you. But I didn't get in on that because I wasn't in the home. I thought, what about me? What about me? When do I get discipled? I have a calling of God on my life. I know there was many guys like me even that are still around to this day that we had callings on our life, and we're still here today. But listen, it wasn't an easy road at that time. Every pastor had his disciple from the home. Every pastor had that person he was believing in from the home. Every pastor had that one that they said, listen, this is the guy that's going to be an apostle. This is the guy that's going to be used by God. God's going to raise this one up. But what about us guys in the youth ministry? What about us guys that had a radical touch on a Wednesday night, that God had a plan for us as well? I thank God for our leadership. I thank God for Pastor Sonny Jr. I thank God for the gang. I thank God for the vision that God gave him to raise up God's anointed now generation. Because if it wasn't for the gang, and if it wasn't for UTC, and if it wasn't for Vethi, listen, I don't know where I would be today. I feel for a lot of those young guys and young girls in the churches, even to this day, that they get overlooked. Because they, you know, somehow they're not in the home, they don't have heart. Listen, I wasn't a drug addict, but I had heart. I wasn't a gang member, but I had heart. Ask any of the guys that knew me, I had heart. And I wasn't afraid to go in the home. I wasn't afraid. See, another thing about the home is that we hear, you grow three times faster in the home. That's where I want to be. Come on, you guys know, right? I want to be in the home, man. That's where it's at, the home. That's the heartbeat. That's where the disciples are coming out. That's where the pastors are coming out. That's where all the pastors in our church came from. They came from the home. But listen, it was tough, and I feel for many of you guys that right now, you know, you're struggling because you don't feel like you're a candidate, because sometimes you feel like you're babysitting, or sometimes you feel like you're just right there having pizza parties. Listen, I'm here to let you know something. You can still make it regardless of what you're doing, but listen, you're going to have to show some commitment. I came out of that meeting with my pastor a little bit crushed, and I said, okay, no home? No home, okay. Plan B. Are you with me? Plan B, because I'm going to make a mark. I got to make a mark. God's called me. I got to make a difference. My pastor named Jesus is making a difference. Look at him. He's blowing it up. Mondo's making a difference. Joey, Manuel, they're all rocking it. What about me, man? I got to make a difference too. I got to do something, man. And it's not going to be in the home. Fine. So I'm going to have to work double hard. I got to work double hard. I got to be double faithful. I have to be double committed. I got to be there before the home. I got to be there longer than the home. I got to work it. I got to get in there, man, because listen, God's got a calling on my life too. I heard it. I heard the voice from heaven. God said, I've called you to be a pastor. Are you hearing me? So what did I do? I poured myself into ministry, man. I made it my life. I remember days where we had cell group, and there'd be guys that call, hey, can you pick me up for cell group? Yeah. So I had to pick people up, and there was this one brother that would call all the time, early. His name happened to be Al. He said, hey, can you pick me up for Bible study? He was my most faithful attendee, too. I said, sure, but he was closest to the church, and I had to drive from Covina. So there was a lot of other people I'd pick up. By the time we get to his house, he'd come, and the car'd be packed. I said, man, you said you're going to let me. He wanted to ride shotgun. You said you're going to pick me up. I said, brother, get in the trunk. I throw him in the trunk, man, and we just go, just down the block, get in the trunk, big deal. So we get to the church, and then everybody be getting out, and I'd be, hey, don't forget Al. Open the trunk, he's in the trunk. I had to work harder. I had to have more disciples. I had to show myself approved. I had to prove myself to my leadership. I had to say, you know what, man, I got to start from the bottom up. And that's what many of you are doing. That's what many of you are understanding. But listen, it's going to come to a time where this, you're going to have reached, done every ministry in the church. And then finally, you're going to come to a point where you've got to make a choice again. I remember one day receiving a call from my pastor and him saying, listen, I think we need you in the East Coast. And I was married at the time. We were doing the Timothy home. And finally, I said, yeah. I said, yeah. On the spot, I said, yeah. In fact, he was shocked at how quickly I answered him, and I had already had all these ideas. He's like, slow down, man. But he didn't know that I was, this is years in the making. I'm ready. I'm ready for God. I want to be used for God. But the third thing we need is we need an attitude of faith and availability. I think one of the concerns we have, leaders, is are we available, man? Are we available? Or, you know, I know in talking to some of the young people, young leaders now, sometimes you even get afraid to ask them to step out by faith to do the ministry and let go of jobs because they have this look on their face like if they're not going to make it, they're going to blame it on you. Well, I'm giving up a good job. Hey, man, that's between you and God, bro. I'm just a messenger. Don't shoot me. Is that your attitude when your pastor comes and he says, listen, it's time? You have a job that you're making so much good money that you can't let go of, and you know, listen, we have to make choices. It's by choice and not chance that destiny is determined. If we're going to raise up a generation of pastors and preachers and evangelists and missionaries around the world, it's going to require faith and availability. Now, there's two reasons why faith is important, and I'm almost done. Faith is important because ministry is a life of denial. If you're on a journey of faith, and if you look at any pastor that is on a journey of faith, you'll see that that pastor or that leader has a track record of self-denial. Are you with me? Say track record. There's a track record of self-denial. A track record of denying self. A track record of death to self. A track record of disappointment. Are you hearing me? A track record of saying no to his or her own desires. A track record of saying, I want to go this way, but I can't because God's called me. I got to go this way. a track record of separation, a track record of standing out from amongst the crowd, a track record of doing sometimes things that are unpopular to family, unpopular to friends, unpopular even in your church. Listen, if you're going to be a leader and if you're going to be a great leader, at one time or another, you're going to be unpopular. I know what it feels like to be unpopular. I've been in the doghouse a few times. I have a back entrance to the doghouse. Come on, somebody. Private entrance, VIP. You're going to find yourself in the doghouse every now and then. You're going to find yourself alone in your vision. You're going to find yourself alone in the plan that God has put over your life. But that's where heart comes in. That's where commitment comes in. That's where our heart is questioned. Can these leaders stick it out when no one even knows their name, when no one even knows they're out there laboring? Listen, I want to tell you something. I believe that we have the heart in this room to raise up young pastors and young pastors' wives. Are we that generation? Are we that type of generation? Can we voluntarily remove ourselves from the comforts of life? Are you with me? Can we voluntarily remove ourselves from the comforts of life? See, a lot of times when you talk about skilled leaders, they're making it somewhere. Are you hearing me? A lot of times skilled leaders are making it somewhere. They're making it in their job because they're skilled. Skilled leaders are making it somewhere. Even now with education. So there's even people in our churches that you have degrees and you've been to vocational school and you have a background that you could be a firefighter or a carpenter or you have a trade. Listen, you're going to find out that leaders are making it somewhere. Everyone, when Jesus called as a disciple, they were making it somewhere. And they had to let go of their net when Christ called them. Why? Because have you ever tried to drag a net? Eventually, you're going to fall behind in the race. You can't drag a net. You got to let it go if you're going to follow Christ. And we have to be able to make a decision to say, man, I can remove myself from comforts of life and comforts of ministry. Can we voluntarily, let's just stay with the ministry. Ministry could be comfortable as well at times too. And you know what I mean by that? Is that when God raises you up in your home church, you have your constituency. You have your following. You have your comfort. You have the people you work through, right, youth leaders? Well, I already know I got this guy and this girl, and I could work through them. And see, the reason you don't want to go is because you know that if you go, you can't take them. Maybe one or two, but you can't take them. And that's comfort for you. You already preaching on Sunday night once a month. You're happy. I got that one Sunday night, baby. And I'm happy. Are you hearing me? You already know you're overseeing a certain number of ministries in the church. And that's great. Praise God. And you know the beauty of it? This is the strange thing of it, is that you're doing that and your pastor thinks that you're fulfilling God's will because he sees you prospering in the church. But as you're doing that, what happens to some of us is God will speak to us. And God says, you know what, son, daughter, I'm going to use you somewhere else. I'm going to raise you up. I'm going to send you out. But because you're questioning if you can let go of the comfort, you never communicate it to your pastor. So he just thinks you're doing God's will. Oh, you got Sunday night. He's doing great. He's got the youth. He's doing this. But you never stepped up to the plate and said, Pastor, God spoke to me. You never stepped up to the plate and said, Pastor, I got to talk to you, man, because I was preaching on Sunday night. And right in the middle of the message, the Spirit of the Lord came upon me and said, God wanted to send me to Africa, or God wanted to send me to Mexico. God wasn't preaching to the people that night. God was preaching to me that night. And God was saying, listen, I'm going to use you in another country. I'm going to use you in another nation. But listen, you're settling for the permissive will of God when God has a perfect will for your life. That's why some leaders get frustrated. They get to a point where they get frustrated because they get tired of doing the same old thing. And the reason you're tired of doing the same old thing is because you're not developing that faith and that availability to God to say, God, you know what? You spoke to me, and I see that you want to use me in another country. So I got to let my pastor know. I got to let my pastor's wife know. And I got to communicate to them that, listen, I have been called to go. Can I hear an amen? Ministry could be comfortable too. Are you hearing me? Faith is also important because we all must pay a price for our calling. Someone once said that anything you gain overnight, you can lose overnight. Are you hearing me? Jesus, even himself, said we must deny ourselves daily and take up our cross. Are you guys really hearing me today? It's a choice. It's a decision you make early. It's many a decision that many of you are making now. It's a decision to say, you know what? I got to be available for God. I got to have the faith to step out. The final thing in closing is this, is we need to have an attitude for growth. An attitude for growth. And we have to be careful not to peek out. Are you hearing me? We got to be careful not to peek out. We must be willing to be learners and be willing to have those elements of faith and availability to be able to step out into the calling that God has for our life. Are you with me? I think you're thinking. Some of you are really thinking. Attitude for growth. We got to be willing to submit ourselves to learn. I think about myself and doing the training center. My wife and I have done the training center for, we were there living there and doing it for 6 years from the very beginning. And there's other leaders that have been there just as long with us. And we feel in our heart that the UTC is so important. I think the UTC encapsulates some of the experience that we had in the church where we couldn't go to the home. So I think the UTC has become the home for this generation. I really believe that. And we were doing it for some time. And then one day Pastor Sonny came and he tapped us on the shoulder and he said, listen, I want to talk to you guys. He says, I think you guys have peaked out. And I think that if you continue here, then eventually you're going to get frustrated. Eventually you're going to struggle. Eventually you could even have problems. I think you need to go on to a new challenge. And many of the things that he's talking to us about this week, and he's been talking to us about, he was sharing with us right in that room. He said, listen, we need to raise up pastors. There's more that God wants to do in this generation. You guys have got to be willing to step out. You got to be willing to take that step of faith. And that's something my wife and I have always tried to keep before us, is to stay in the perfect divine will of God. We can't settle for anything less. Anything less will be shortchanging God. And we said, you know what, Pastor, we're going to pray about it. And sure enough, we got a phone call, and it had to happen right away, and we stepped out, and we just did it. We did it by faith. We didn't have nowhere to live. We commuted to San Diego for 4 months from West Covina, just every weekend going to the services, and it, you know, it got a little hard, and finally said, you know what, in the beginning of this year, we got to go ahead, and we got to buy a house here or rent a house here. So we rented a house for a year, and we planted ourselves in that church, and we said, you know what, we're going to submit ourselves to the leaders. We're going to submit ourselves to our pastors. We're going to learn about church work. We're going to learn about how to work with people. And we're not going into the youth. We're going into the adults. Now, for some of you, that's hard. Just to give you an experience I had the other day. Well, it wasn't the other day. It was some time ago. There was a brother that was sick in the church. Older brother. He's been in the church for years. And I decided to go visit him in the hospital. So he was there, and he was an older guy. And then I was there, and I went over there by myself. And in the afternoon to visit him and just to be with them there in the hospital. He had had a spider bite or something. And he was being visited by another brother who was an older brother in the church. So I sat there for about an hour and we're kind of shooting the breeze and talking about, you know, how he felt. And he felt okay and everything was great. But on my way out before I left, I said, well, you know what, man? I have to go to another meeting. But, man, I love being here. Thank you. You know, I hope you're okay. Prayed for him and all these different things. It was a real nice visit. Real nice visit. The older man who was there walked with me out. He goes, let me talk to you. And then he walked me out, and he began to rebuke me. The guy that was visiting, and he's not even a pastor, and he's a member. And he started rebuking me. He says, you know what you're doing is important. I'm doing a good thing, and he's rebuking me for doing a good thing. How many know our churches could be complicated sometimes? And he's got gray hair, and he's been around forever. And, you know, I was on this crusade in 1987, and, you know, this one was in the home, you know. So he gets me, and he's, you know, brother, what you're doing is important. And I walked out of that place defeated, man. I said, man, what is this guy? I was there, you know, and I was, like, just tripping. Come on now. How many of you have ever been through something like that? I felt rebuking him, but, Bible says, don't rebuke an older man, you know? And I told my pastor, right? It says that. Doesn't it say that? You got to read the Bible. It says that, amen? And I walked defeated. I left defeated. I said, oh, see, man, try to do a good thing and see how people are. And these people don't appreciate nothing. And then he probably didn't even want me to go. That's why he was rebuking me. And, you know, I'm pushing in on his terror. I don't know what he was thinking. I couldn't even understand what he was thinking. You know? And I wanted to give up. And that was, you know, that's one incident. There's been many. I think it was just, I don't know, there's more, but I'm not even going to it. So he got me, you know, and then I'm going home and I'm just defeated and I felt like giving up. But the thing is that it was right there that I had to ask myself this question: do I know it all or am I gonna stay a learner? So I go, I know, brother, what are you talking about, man? I'm discipled by Pastor Sonny Jr. I came up under the best, man. What do you know? You ain't nothing but an old man. You know what I mean? I could have said that. Right? What are you doing in ministry, bro? You don't do nothing. You just, you know what I mean? I could have went there. But I didn't. In my mind, I did. But I had to make a decision right there. Am I going to stay a learner? And that's something that we're learning. That's something that Pastor Miller and Pastor Andre and Chris and Tim and all the guys that are there, myself included, we're all learning how what it means to be a pastor. And you know what I learned? As a pastor, you get rebuked by the people sometimes. And I'm getting rebuked and all these different things, and I feel like I'm walking around a bunch of porcupines. You try to hug someone, and it's like all these needles go in your body. Hey, bro, God bless you. Oh, what was that all about, man? Where are the young people? Come over here, man. You guys are... Jesus. Hallelujah. Where's the UTC, man? I'm famous there. They love me there. Everybody loves me. Bring me coffee. My God. Clean my car when I go over there. Jeez. I had to make a decision. Do I know everything or am I going to learn? And that's what the decision many of the young guys are making. Pastor Chris there directed the West Coast Training Center, directed the Mexico UTC. He said, you know what? I see what God is doing in San Diego and what Pastor Sonny is doing and pouring himself out into this new generation. And I ain't going to miss out on that. No way. I got to get over there. I'm willing to leave the comfort of the training center. I'm willing to leave the comfort of my constituency and all my influence and go into a place where I have no influence and start all over again from the bottom up. I'm willing to make my bones. Why? Because God has called me. And one day I'm going to be a pastor. Estevan, the same thing. And Tim is doing that. And Pastor Andre and Pastor Miller, we're all doing it. Why? Because we understand, even in La Puente, Philip and a lot of the guys, they're doing it. Why? Because we say, you know what, man? God has something more. We have a calling within our life. We want to answer that call. See, being a learner is being under leadership. Growing under leadership, having the right attitude, man. And listen, we get under different types of leadership. I've been under all types of different types of leadership. I've been under good leaders. I've been under bad leaders. And now I'm under great leaders. And there's a lot of different types of leaders. You know, you're under the good, the bad, and the ugly. But one thing Pastor Sonny Jr. always taught me in coming up in the youth ministries, he said, listen, you can learn something from anybody. Even if it's what not to do, you could learn something. And that's the attitude we need, young leaders. That's the attitude we need. Many of us, man, God has called us into ministry. God has called us to be pastors. You have the faith. Listen, don't question your call anymore. Don't question your purpose. If God put a city on your heart, stop trying to rationalize, oh, well, I had a big slice of pizza the night before. No, it wasn't the pizza, and it wasn't the Red Bulls that you've been living off of. No, it's been God. It's been the Holy Ghost that's been ministering to you and saying, I'm going to use you somewhere. I'm going to raise you up. Some of the guys here, you got to find yourself a good wife. Some of you good wives who are not married yet, you need faith. And I'm going to close. You need faith because the guy that God called you to marry, he may not be a finished product yet. He may not be preaching every Sunday yet. I thank God for Georgina. She preached before I did. God was using her on a great level before I was even anybody. I remember being jealous. Yeah. I was Georgina's husband for about 4 years.